W-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Mother Treason. 5. When Tip was coming back was the winter of 1985. I wrote ahead this time because I wanted to see Trifia, and Tina's reply said they would both be in Moscow in March. The careening Cold War had canceled direct flights from New York, so I changed to Aeroflot in Helsinki and arrived in Moscow in an ice storm that only a Russian pilot could enjoy. I was traveling alone this time, 3 days in Moscow, overland to Leningrad, and out. Tip's ambition was the usual salesmanship. The Soviet publishing house, there's only one, though it has many names, had upset common sense by dangling a contract for two of my books. Theirs was a selective strike, skipping my anti-Stalinist trash and going for my running cur capitalism trash. Who knows what they were thinking? I thought them clever. They could package me as a revolutionary brother by using my name incorrectly, Tom Paine. Russians are balmy for descendants of famous rascals. They have societies of them, and one of the members, a Decembrist degenerate, met me at the airport with my in-tourist factotum. The Decembrists were a fairy tale gang who one weird day decided to oust the Tsar with glory. It was 1825, and they were executed for premature idiocy. A century and a half later, my Decembrist was named Boris Grumman, and he was happy ever after for his dead forebear. Boris was also a member of the Writers' Union, all the print that's fit to news, and started off oilily to me in English. A distinguished colleague, a socialist poet, very glad, glad. I returned to him in Russian that I regarded poets to be paper enthusiasts who clogged our post with junk mail. Boris and Comrade Intourist recognized Yankee humbug and had me at the National Hotel straight away. I was an American bestseller paying top dollar who had cash business with the Ministry of Culture. Result? Anything I wanted, extra if I paid for it. It was early glasnost then. I don't think the word had yet emerged as the latest Russian theme, best defined as everything goes, maybe. Gorbachev, in harness 8 days, was busy mugging for TV. The Russians had finally found a thug who was good in the glass and young enough not to have a blood-soaked wardrobe. It made them unhappy. All our hustle to get here, and now we're supposed to change? Like the foxes they think they are, the Russians were positioning themselves for ice dens crumbling. The Cold War was due a temperature adjustment. Thaw and mud season coming. If I sound suspicious, perhaps I've read the wrong books. What you need to know is that my business with the Ministry of Culture was satisfactory. They bartered, I signed, they smiled. Now I had ruble royalties that I could spend only here. Boris and Comrade Intourist wanted to celebrate. Did I want to meet poets, translators, Yevtushenko? I called Trifia and Tina to make a date that night at a poetry reading Boris recommended, East European Twigs Championing New Leaf Gorbachev. Boris was not a blind degenerate. As soon as Trifia and Tina arrived at the poetry reading, he spotted them as high party and lowered his head. This actually pleased me. Trifia was magnificent in black. Tina's read me your book, said Trifia. So exciting. All your cowboys. When you mention John Wayne, I weep. He was weeping then, Russian joy, and with Tina's tears I shed Yankeehood, hugging and kissing back. My childhood chums were beautiful people. I felt special, and admit now that their politics seemed irrelevant. Truth, I was proud of them. They were Russian successes. I knew many American successes who deserved the knife the 3 million stooges keep at throats. This was self-deceit, of course. Only the knife deserves the knife. The poetry reading was superbly coy, rhymed verse that managed paeans and irony. Tina and I laughed. Trifia applauded the handsome Polish female poet. She versified contraception, abortion, stillbirth. I teased Boris that the Writers' Union wasn't vetting as well as they used to. Get smart, censors. We lined up for autographs afterwards, and Tina dared me to flirt with the poetic comrade Polish femme. Boris must have said something snitchy to her, because soon enough she came over. When I mentioned how well she'd do in New York, she, Zofia Brandis, dropped Russian for French and said all she needed was sponsors. Did I know one? Nice move, Tip. Hide for decades from home radicals, and you volunteer to escort a divorced Polish Catholic Red Stocking to a Moscow cafe so heaped with high-party frolickers that the sable skins in the room looked pleased for their last sacrifice. The vodka, I refused, destroyed me. Tina played matchmaker. He's very progressive, Zofia. He thinks poetry is perilous. Zofia played arsonist. In Warsaw, lackeys are progressive. Trivia urged me to tell Zofia how many slaves worked in my New York penthouse. Thanks, Trivia. Zofia asked me enough literary questions to confirm that I was an illiterate nincompoop on five continents, and then she asked me how many abortions I had had. She was serious. I was her hot new simile for America. Only the tortured reason of poets explains why. When we dropped her off at the Ukraine Hotel, Zofia said she'd never had so much fun in Moscow. Tomorrow night would be fine. Pick her up at 8. Thanks, Tina. The next evening started out a rerun. My limo, Boris quaking, Trivia and Tina loose, Zofia droll. I had spent the afternoon at Trivia's recounting my adventures. Trivia had kept his own confessions to his travelogue and cowboy movie going. I asked him about Havana, mostly, where they had vacation, and he did say that he regretted never having visited Las Vegas so he could see the Wild West, especially Monument Valley. Make a note of this. He said, no Vegas. Of personal interest, Mama was pensioned, living in a dacha near his own. His sisters were well-married mothers. Our cautious chat made avoiding the obvious easier. His three boys wanted to hear about Hollywood, and I made up enough to be believed. Their apartment was a town version of their dacha, though the stuffed falcon was absent and the trappings were French, modern. Tina came in from the beauty parlor to supervise supper. They didn't have Park Avenue wealth, more what we call comfortable upper. For Russia, though, they were out of sight. Boris underlined the distance when he bowed to Trivia at the curb and said, "Good evening, Comrade Colonel." Trivia returned, "Boris Leonovich, we're all friends. Let's enjoy ourselves. We're going to what the cowboys say, wet our lips." We laughed. Boris buttoned his lip. Soon Zofia began a lusty soliloquy. What aroused her was competing with male pride of place. She treated Trivia like a prince, Tina like a tower damsel, and me like an armrest. And Zofia could drink. She downed those fancy five-cup glasses and propped her rich body on my shoulder to announce, "Why are American men so tall? I'll tell you. They're lovely, hot, air heads." If you know bashers like Zofia, you also know how, when we piled back into the limo for another dash to booze, she climbed on my lap like Marilyn Monroe. I appealed to Trivia for relief. Tina declared, "It's good for you." Zofia asked Tina, "How can they feel so good and be so empty?" Trivia spoke up, "Perhaps, Zofia, you would share Tipia with a room full of emptiness?" Trivia's playful remark alerted me. He meant to show Zofia that I was not entirely an idiot, and neither was he. The limo sped us to a Warsaw-packed soiree on the other side of the river. How sleek Trivia was at the door when a goon asked for our credentials. Trivia's cowhide billfold said, "Carte blanche." And then, to account for the goon's backpedaling, Trivia introduced each of us to him like treasures. The soiree was otherwise worthless. Comrade fraternal brothers were weathering the march run-up to thaw-crazy Gorbachev's first spring party plenum by dancing in the front rooms and gambling in the back. The Cold War was slush in your drink, and the roulette table was a currency exchange. There was no poker game, which disappointed me at first, then not. I was not tempted to ask Trivia to demonstrate his sinister passion. Boris volunteered to vet the talent and left us. We watched the craps table and then took two empty seats at the Baccarat game, what the Europeans do because they can't figure blackjack. Trivia played Tina's hand and I showed Zofia how to wager. When I accidentally won a pile for her with my dollar, Zofia ignited, squeals and kisses. Zofia was an extremist by nature. Gambling turned her raven head like a denunciation. "You will take me to American casinos," she threatened, "and I shall act like a gangster's ma when I win." I told her that back home not even gangsters could beat the house odds. She was not listening. After too much of this, we had to figure how to pry our ladies from the table. Trivia reached over to fold both their hands. And then, to counter Zofia's protest, he started a bizarre distraction. He pulled me close to Zofia's face and gestured to the lair of Eurotrash. "Now, Zofia, listen to me," began Trivia. "My dear Tipia is a poet of the invisible. He knows about spies, all spies. He can tell you, face by face, who the cowboys are. Look now for yourself and ask him. He knows." Zofia demanded, "What cowboys?" I mumbled, "Cowboys?" I glanced from mug to Stalinist mug. As far as I knew, there were no real cowboys here. What did he mean? Trivia whispered the answer into my ear, a little KGB joke, and I did laugh. We eased over to the red curtains. I pointed outside. I was showing Zofia a cowboy town in searchlights. Across the street was the new American Embassy Chancery, under construction. "Hot air balloons, not cowboys," said Zofia. Suddenly, Trivia did his dear turn for me. "Sing it, Tipia. Sing our song for Zofia. Tell her how wild the West is, how beautifully wild." Embarrassed, I obliged his intensity. "Have gun, we'll travel," reads the heart of a man. Tina slid against her man and grinned her signature. He brought forth his deck, shuffled in midair. I expected his favorite card trick. He had arranged an innovation. 48 cards, he said, displaying the deck in a fan. "Where could the aces be?" Trivia plucked two aces from Tina's blouse, making her coup. He plucked one more from my breast pocket. "That's three," he said. "Tipia sees the invisible four." I did, but I was afraid of Zofia's blouse, so I came close enough to indicate, and she shook loose the card. Trivia laughed. "My dear brother Tipia, I love you." Then he added his favorite Paladin Pushkin quote, "You're too sweet when chance refuses, and too clever when it nods." Still, to this day, I do wonder exactly how far Trivia meant his sleight of hand to go. He was a professional. He didn't permit cards to beat him. Why then, Trivia, why did you say there was a cowboy in the room? Why did you show off our chancery? Why did you want me to fetch the ace of clubs from Zofia's chest? Am I uncommoning my sense? Was it just chance? Did it mean anything when it fell to our feet?
Chances are, you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange any time. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.